listening to WGXC 90.7 FM Accra, Catskill, Hudson, Athens, Germantown, Chatham, Coxsackie, hands-on community radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
This is Rob Sather, host of Overlooked, WGXC's excursion into underheard and overlooked music. Overlooked is now on fourth Tuesday of each month from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Each show is themed, connecting disparate types of music in new and uncharted ways. That's Overlooked, 12 to 2 on Tuesdays.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered in Greene County by the Greene County Council on the Arts, the Alexander and Marjorie Hover Foundation, the Foundation for Contemporary Arts, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Carol Russoff of Craryville, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
You know, I was listening to the radio and I heard this thing!
90.7 FM, listener aided and abetted radio.
Where do you go? Dinner. Ah, there's good news.
It's time again for Donald.
Drunk.
Theater. No one knows what is up or down.
Black
or white.
Legal.
Or
impeachable.
Everything is make-believe in Donald.
Drunk.
Theater. So let's
pull the curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into
logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Truth isn't truth.
I hear it's fake news, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
I think it's fake news, okay? Now, would I do that? Absolutely.
We're doing a lot of things that are very good, including waste and fraud. Tremendous waste and tremendous fraud.
The President of the United States has the authority to do what the President has the authority to do.
You will respect my authority.
Yeah, I've declared myself as king.
But when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
I could cause panic much better than even you. I could do much. I would make you look like a minor league player.
Seems like almost every day we get more and more evidence that the Trump administration knew well in advance of the very real threat of a pandemic and that they both ignored it and lied to the American people about it, despite the fact that the president keeps saying stuff like this.
Nobody could have predicted something like this.
Nobody knew there'd be a pandemic or an epidemic of this proportion.
I just think this is something, Peter, that you can never really think is going to happen.
It's an unforeseen problem. What a problem. Came out of nowhere.
We're having to fix a problem that 4 weeks ago nobody ever thought would be a problem.
It's something that nobody expected.
I would view it as something that just surprised the whole world.
Baby, what a big surprise. Right before my very eyes.
There may and likely will come a time in which we have
both an airborne disease that is deadly. And in order for us to deal with that effectively, we have to put in place an infrastructure, not just here at home, but globally, that allows us to see it quickly, isolate it quickly, respond to it quickly, so that if and when a new strain of flu, like the Spanish flu, crops up 5 years from now or a decade from now, we've made the investment and we're further along to be able to catch it. It is a smart investment for us to make. It's not just insurance, it is knowing that down the road we're going to continue to have problems like this, particularly in a globalized world.
And it shouldn't surprise you at all, you know.
It's very telling about his psychological state that when he means I, he says nobody. Folks, nobody could have kept a casino open in Atlantic City. Nobody really blew it. Nobody sucks. So nobody could have seen this coming. Yeah, Taiwan and South Korea and New Zealand and Singapore were all surprised. That's why they have a combined total of 12,000 cases, and we have a total of 400,000 cases.
Don't be surprised.
This did not surprise the whole world. Just because it surprised you doesn't mean it surprised the world. Everything surprises you. Even your own speeches surprise you because you so often are reading them out loud for the first time, which is why you do that weird thing where you're both reading and doing a DVD commentary on your own speeches. We will be sending aid to all 50 states. 50, wow. Wow, that's a big number, 50. Wasn't always 50. Despite Trump's repeated claims that no one could have foreseen this, it turns out a lot of people foresaw this, including people in the Trump administration. Here's just a quick list. First, Obama officials walked Trump aides through a global pandemic exercise in 2017. Then, in 2017 and 2018, threat assessment intelligence analysts even mentioned a close cousin of coronavirus by name, saying it had pandemic potential. Then, in 2018, the Director for Medical and Biodefense Preparedness at the National Security Council told a symposium that the threat of pandemic flu is our number one health security concern. Then, top administration officials said last year that the threat of a pandemic kept them up at night. Then, White House economists warned in 2019 a pandemic could devastate America. Then, intelligence reports warned of coronavirus crises as early as November. And then, U.S. intelligence reports from January and February warned about a likely pandemic. Well, you know the old saying, eight strikes and you're out. Seriously, how many incredibly specific warnings do you need? After all those warnings, on Tuesday, we found out about yet another warning. When it was reported that Trump's trade advisor warned the White House in January of the risks of a pandemic, and at the top of the document he wrote, it literally says, memorandum to president. So they knew, and they lied to you. They told you it wasn't a threat, but they knew it was, and they put lives at risks. Not to mention all the economic carnage they knew was coming. They knew. But here's another part of the problem. The guy who wrote that memo, Peter Navarro, is also a crank. Because what happens when oatmeal brain sociopath guts the civil service and surrounds himself with fringe right-wing weirdos. Even if someone's right, you don't know who to believe. For example, Navarro, a trade advisor, has been one of the loudest voices in the administration pushing the unproven malaria medication hydroxychloroquine for coronavirus. Now, Navarro has zero medical expertise, which led to this exchange on CNN on Monday.
My qualifications in terms of looking at the science is that I'm a social scientist, I have a PhD, and I understand how to read statistical studies, whether it's in medicine, the law, economics, or whatever.
That doesn't qualify you to treat patients. Do you want an internist striking trade deals with Asian countries?
The decision's been made by many doctors to prescribe it, and if it saves lives, that's a beautiful thing. I think history will judge who's right on this debate, but I I bet on President Trump's.
Attention viewers, I am Peter Navarro and I've come from the future, the fall of 2020, to warn you that history has spoken and it is not thrilled. Current day Peter Navarro has no idea what he's talking about. He's not a doctor, he's pretty much just a guy. Dearest viewers, I am Peter Navarro and I've come from further in the future, December 2020, to warn you that... Well, it's not really to warn you so much as just reiterate that current day Peter Navarro has no idea what he's saying.
Thank you.
Who did he cite? Many doctors?
That should have been the end of it right there.
Whose fault? Let's play the play.
The Obama administration made a decision on testing that turned out to be very detrimental.
Many administrations preceded me. For the most part, they did very little. World Health Organization, they called it wrong. They call it wrong. They missed the call. Like in Illinois, the governor couldn't do his job with Governor Cuomo. He had a chance to order 16,000 ventilators 2 years ago, and he turned it down. He turned down the chance. Now, he can't be blaming us. I talk about the Chinese virus, and I mean it. That's where it came from.
It comes from China.
Certainly, the world is paying a big price for what they did.
10 to 20,000 masks to 300,000. Something's going on. Where are the masks going? Are they going out the back door?
You did disband the White House pandemic office.
And when you say me, I didn't do it. We have a group of people. I could ask, perhaps, my administration, but I could perhaps ask... Tony about that, because I don't know anything about it. I mean, you say we did that. I don't know anything about it. I don't take responsibility at all.
Well, I'm happy to report, Colin, that America is now number one in the world for coronavirus. Number one while I was president. Hashtag America number one. Hashtag not important. Why?
You seem almost excited about it.
Well, my approval rating is up. My TV ratings are through the roof. And every night at 7 p.m., all of New York claps and cheers for the great job I'm doing.
Yeah, I don't know if that's for you, man.
You're wrong, LeBron. You're wrong. I'll be honest. This virus, this COVID-19, is really a tough one.
What exactly is your advice? Because it seems to change every 24 hours.
That's a nasty question. You're very nasty. Insistence all along. I've always said it was a giant hoax that we should take very seriously, even though it was invented by the Democrats. Impeach me, part two. So everyone needs to wash their hands or not.
I was wondering, where are you getting most of your advice for this?
We have to listen to the experts on this one. Me, Hannity, Jared Kushner, and Mike Lindell from MyPillow.
It was another manic Monday for old Yeller, who gave really an all-timer of a press conference yesterday. He was almost foaming at the mouth. He was huffing and puffing so much, you'd think he'd just done a sit-up. He's very upset. He's upset not about the death toll or the lack of ventilators, masks, tests, et cetera, et cetera. He's upset because he doesn't want blame. He wants credit. Blame bad, credit good.
I don't mind being criticized. But not when they're wrong. If you call CNN a network, I don't personally. You know you're a fake. You know that. Your whole network, the way you cover it, is fake. So the story in the New York Times was a total fake. It's a fake newspaper, and they write fake stories. And most of you, and not all of you, but the people are wise to you. That's why you have a lower approval rating than you've ever had before, times probably three.
Why are there no consequences for China for the misinformation that they share?
How do you know there are no consequences?
We have been asked it.
How do you know there are no consequences?
What are the consequences, Mr. President?
I wouldn't tell you. You'd probably be the last person on earth I'd tell. The President of the United States calls the shots. When somebody's the President of the United States, the authority is total.
But who told you the President has the total authority?
Enough.
You underestimate the power of the orange side. So he's handling this really well. But this is what happens when he goes a week without golf. He explodes. Trump is battling with the governors now. He insists that the President of the United States calls all the shots, which is, of course, not true, and totally contrary to the longtime position of the Republican Party, which believes strongly in states' rights. You can't embrace the Confederacy and the total authority of the federal government at the same time. It's like Thanos having an Iron Man themed birthday party. You just don't do it. But after Trump went on his little power trip, a reporter from Politico had the good sense to ask Mike Pence, who was at one time governor of Indiana, what he thinks.
Mr. President, actually, this is a question for Mr. Vice President. Do you agree with the president's statement and his understanding of federalism that his power is total, like, in the way that he described it? Is there anything you'd like to add or any context you'd like to add to what he, the way he was discussing that?
I support the president's leadership under the National Emergency Declaration that he signed.
I thought robots weren't supposed to show fear.
You have to consistently shower Trump with compliments, or you'll fall out of his good graces. To stay in Trump's inner circle, you have to praise him without exception, which is something Trump's unwatered chia pet, Rudy Giuliani, understands better than most. Rudy actually offered some advice recently to governors and local officials who've been feuding with Trump over the fact that Trump has refused to supply them with adequate equipment, including ventilators and protective gear for healthcare workers.
A little advice for the governors and the mayors. Take the blame when you have to. You know, if you play with your boss, sometimes it's better if you don't win the golf game.
We have done a job the likes of which nobody's seen.
You know who really, really misses having an audience? Donald Trump. You see, he can't hold rallies right now because the coronavirus would threaten the lives of his supporters. And politics 101 is do not kill your voters. It's a bad move. So Trump has turned the coronavirus press briefings at the White House every day into just little rallies where he rambles incoherently and attacks the press. And yesterday, he outdid himself with a hissy fit meltdown that clocked in at a generalissimo mas grande of 2 hours and 24 minutes. It was like watching The Irishman with just one unconvincingly de-aged criminal. Trump was angry, you see, with all the exposés that were published this past weekend about his well-known public failure to take the coronavirus seriously. So he forced the assembled press to watch a video of his supposed coronavirus success.
We'll answer some questions. I'll ask you some questions because you're so guilty, but forget it. But most importantly, we're going to get back onto the reason we're here, which is the success we're having. Okay. Please, you could put it on.
It's ridiculous that the president of the United States used a press briefing on a global pandemic to subject a worried nation to a propaganda video. The only purpose of the press briefing is to give valuable information to a confused public in the middle of a national crisis. So, of course, Trump used it to brag about himself. It's like if the fireman showed up to your burning house and instead of picking up a hose, he said, "Wow, this inferno is the perfect backdrop for my one-man show about how it's not my fault that your house is burning down. And a 5, 6, 7, 8, I didn't start the fire." Trump's video about the bold action he took skipped over a couple of things. For instance, it skipped over the entire month of February. So CBS reporter Paula Reed had the temerity to ask him a question about that.
The argument is that you bought yourself some time. You didn't use it to prepare hospitals. You didn't use it to ramp up testing. Right,
you're
now,
so, you're so, 20 million you're so people disgraceful. Are unemployed. It's so disgraceful the way you say that. Let me just listen. I just went over it. I just went over it.
In an unprecedented crisis.
Nobody thought we should do it. And when I did it.
But what did you do with the time that you bought?
You know
the
we
month
did?
Of February. That,
you
that
know what we did?
Was a gap.
What do you do?
Month of February.
What do you do when you have no case in the whole United States?
You had cases
when
in
you,
February.
You, excuse me, you reported it. Zero cases, zero deaths on January 17th.
January. Your video has a complete gap.
On January 30th.
What did your administration do in February for the time that your travel ban botched?
A lot.
What?
A lot. And in fact, we'll give you a list. What we did, in fact, part of it was up there. We did a lot. Look. You know you're a fake. You know that. Your whole network, the way you cover it, is fake.
You're a fake. You know you're a fake. You know February is a fake month. There are a lot of fake months out there. Some of the months are real, of course. January, March-bruary, April, Octopussy, and SantaCon.
But true to his word, Trump did have a list of what he did to fight the coronavirus in February, and I've got it right here. It includes a lot, banged pots in case viruses like bears, sent virus $130,000 to make it go away, wrote angry letter to Prime Minister of Corona, socially distanced Eric, called virus Little Covey on Twitter,
and put off everything till March. Okay, anyway, I'm sorry, you were yelling at a woman? I know that's kind of your thing, but it doesn't mean she's wrong. You see, Mr. President, you can lie all you want, but what you're lying about happened less than 2 months ago. We were all here, and we had something called cameras, and they recorded you saying this.
And I think it's going to all work out fine. You know, in April, supposedly, it dies with the hotter weather.
We have the greatest doctors in the world. We have it very much under control.
The people are getting better. They're all getting better.
We have it so well under control. I mean, we really have done a very good job.
Now the Democrats are politicizing the coronavirus. This is their new hoax.
There's no reason to panic at all.
It's going to disappear. One day it's like a miracle. It will disappear.
When you have 15 people, and the 15 within a couple of days is going to be down to close to zero.
We remember that. We're not goldfish. You know how I know? Goldfish can still go to schools. We all remember that Trump, the Republicans, Fox News downplayed the seriousness of this virus and told us all to do nothing. They took all their chips and they bet the under and they lost. I'm not surprised they lost. Trump has bankrupted a lot of casinos. So Trump has no chips, but somehow he believes that he's the dealer. Case in point, reopening the country. Trump thinks he's the one who gets to do it, while the states say, no, we're good. Because governors on the East and West Coasts have formed PACs to decide when to reopen their economies. Okay. Groups of states banding together regionally to do things on their own is always a harbinger of good things to come in America, right? It's like that famous quote, a house divided against itself is going to be fun. Trump insisted, despite what the states may think, he's the one in charge because when someone's president, their authority is total.
When somebody's the president of the United States, the authority is total.
Well, I'll give him this much. He does have authority, and the country is totaled.
You will respect my authority!
One reporter challenged Trump's claim.
You said when someone is president of the United States, their authority is total. That is not true.
Okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to write up papers on this.
Trump has now promised us a list of all the preparations he took in February and an explanation of why he has total power as the president. And I'm assuming he'll deliver all of those pieces of paper when he sends over his tax returns and his high school report on To Kill a Mockingbird. Yeah, at this point, Trump has more pages to release than George R.R. Martin.
Now, New York's Governor Andrew Cuomo was on CBS this morning, and he is not buying the president's assertions of authority.
The president's position is just absurd. It's not the law, it's not the Constitution. We don't have a king.
Yeah, I've declared myself as king.
With no more king.
We're going to elect a president.
No more king.
He's going to do what the people want.
No more king.
We're going to run things our way.
No more king.
What to do?
I don't know. He seems like a king. Golden crown, multiple wives, inbred sons. And Cuomo also reminded his fellow governors not to take Trump's propaganda-infused press conferences seriously.
A governor should not watch that. There's no value in it. It is infuriating and offensive and frankly ignorant of the facts. If it wasn't so serious, it would be funny, all of this. It could be a comedy skit.
Sir, on behalf of people who have dedicated their entire lives to comedy skits, I am offended by the comparison. Comedy skits should be less than 2.5 hours long, and the punchline shouldn't make you want to punch someone in the face. Later in the day, Cuomo said if Trump ordered him to reopen his state in a way that would endanger people, he wouldn't do it. That may have led to this strange tweet.
Tell the Democrat governors that Mutiny on the Bounty was one of my favorite all-time movies. A good old-fashioned mutiny every now and then is an exciting and invigorating thing to watch, especially when the mutineers need so much from the captain. Too easy.
My point is that cruelty with purpose is not cruelty. It's efficiency.
First of all, what? Second of all, what the Third of all, for one of his favorite movies, Trump is not that clear on the plot of Mutiny on the Bounty. Things do not turn out well for Captain Bligh. He's overthrown and ends up in a tiny boat rowing back to England. God, I hope this is like Mutiny on the Bounty. Does Trump misinterpret every movie he sees?
Look, tell the Democrat governors that Silence of the Lambs, one of my all-time favorite movies, it's about a concerned scientist trying to catch a killer and coming up with some creative fava bean recipes for everyone he's got quarantined in his basement pit. The governor opens up its state, or it gets the hose again.
Still hunting President Trump.
Do you know him?
I do.
We were golfing buddies once. We ate our caddy, turned him into a taco bowl with a nice Diet Coke.
Now, before all the fireworks began, Trump's briefing started with a public humiliation of Dr. Anthony Fauci. You see, on Sunday, Dr. Fauci said that he had received pushback on enacting life-saving social distancing earlier in the pandemic, but he walked that back at the press conference in front of the president.
You said there was pushback.
Yeah.
Where did that pushback come
from?
No,
it wasn't. That was the wrong choice of words.
Specifically, it was the wrong choice to use words. When describing this administration's response, I should have just said, Paula Reid was also skeptical about Fauci's sincerity.
Are you doing this voluntarily, or did
no,
the president...
No, I'm doing it. Everything I do is voluntarily. Please, don't even imply that.
Yes, this is the universal sign for I'm not a hostage. Don't even imply I'm blinking out a different message in Morse code. Call the police. You know what? I say good for Dr. Fauci. I don't care if he is being pressured. Say anything, sir. Do anything to stay in that room. Don't leave us alone with the bad man. So it was a 2.5 hour long, insane, emotional, misinforming, propagandistic press conference. But at least this reporter asked the question that was on all of our minds.
What's happening?
How well do you think Americans are equipped psychologically to deal with this kind of pandemic?
Well, the good news is people tend to be really resilient to stress. Most people are. But they are going to look to their leaders for advice. And leaders need to be really careful about the sort of messages they send out. People's anxieties about infection depends on whether they see their leaders as responsible and trustworthy and able to do the job.
Sorry, you said our leaders, it comes down to our leadership?
In part.
The song from ex-Chicago.
Billy, Joel, Knowles, Barkley, Jack Travolta, Oliver, Newton-John,
Kanye West,
Jack Williams, Schoolhouse, Golden, Earring,
thanks to
Rod, Serling, Rudy, Giuliani, Cartman, Richard, Nixon, Seth, Myers,
Barack Obama,
Peter, Navarro,
Jack
Berman, Tooning, Alec, Baldwin, Colin, Jost,
Michael,
Che,
from Saturday Night Live, Jimmy,
Kimmel, Mike, Pence, Stephen, Colbert, Paula, Reed, Trevor, Noah, Andrew, Captain, Bly, Clarice, Starling,
Desi,
Lydic.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
Where do you go? Dinner. Oh, there's good news.
It's time again for Donald.
Drunk.
Theater.
No one knows what's up or down. Or white.
Legal.
Or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald.
Drunk.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into...
Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Truth isn't truth.
I hear it's fake news, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
I think it's fake news, okay? Now, would I do that? Absolutely.
We're doing a lot of things that are very good, including waste and fraud. Tremendous waste and tremendous fraud.
The President of the United States has the authority to do what the President has the authority to do.
You will respect my authority.
Yeah, I've declared myself as king.
But when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
I cannot tell a lie. I'm sorry. I could cause panic much better than even you. I could do much. I would make you look like a minor league player.
This is not a test. 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 This is not a test.
Today, as you probably know, would have been tax day, April 15th, but we got a three-month extension. Basically, the government is hoping that by mid-July, everyone will have received their stimulus checks and can turn around and send them right back to the IRS. Some people have already received their relief money via direct deposit, but those who are waiting for an actual check are going to have to wait because, according to the Washington Post, the checks are delayed because someone decided he wanted to print Donald Trump's name on them. Gee, I wonder whose idea that was. This is the first time a president has ever had his name printed on a government check, ever, which is in totally delaying the delivery of relief checks so they could put your name on them might be the Trumpiest thing Trump has ever done. Why on earth would he put his name on these? They're not from him. It's not his money. He didn't even put his name on the check he sent Stormy Daniels. These dollars are tax dollars we pay. As far as I know, he doesn't even pay taxes. Certainly hasn't produced any evidence of it. He's like a drug lord giving the villagers cash on Christmas so they look the other way the rest of the year.
The United States Treasury proudly presents the Donald J. Trump Commemorative Coronavirus Check. Each check is emblazoned with Donald Trump's actual signature and features a dramatic image of the president punching the virus in the face. Each check is lovingly dated April 1st. In memory of the date, the president assured us this crisis would miraculously go away. So commemorate everything the president didn't do. Order your coronavirus check signed by Donald Trump today. Please allow 8 to 10 weeks for delivery or longer if his hand cramps up.
In the last month alone, 22 million Americans have been laid off. And unfortunately, Donald Trump is not one of them. Yesterday, the president held another coronavirus blame and shout, and he shared some good news.
The data suggests that nationwide we have passed the peak on new cases. Hopefully that will continue and we will continue to make great progress. These encouraging developments have put us in a very strong position to finalize guidelines for states on reopening the country. Some of the states can actually open up before the deadline of May 1st.
There are some signs that this move might be a tad premature, because all the experts agree there needs to be extensive coronavirus testing before people can return to work. And estimates of how many tests we'll need range from a low of 750,000 tests per week up to 22 million tests per day. Now, that kind of widespread testing just isn't available yet. The total for the country since the epidemic started is only 3.1 million. To put that into perspective, in the first 10 days on Netflix, 34 million people watched Tiger King. So without the testing, Trump saying that he knows we passed the peak is a little premature. I mean, you don't hear a fire chief saying, look, I'm just eyeballing this one, but I don't see as many flames shooting out your window as before. So I'd say everybody back in the house. Come on, let's go. Sleep tight. But last week, Trump said he didn't think testing was necessary.
You don't need testing there. You know, where you have a state with a small number of cases, some states with almost none. So when you have that, you don't need testing. You don't have to test every person in the state of Iowa, as an example. You don't have to test every single person to say, let's open up and let's get the tractors moving and let's get the corn and let's open up all of the different things they do in that great state.
Clearly, Donald Trump has a deep knowledge of Iowa. All the different things they do, corn, tractor, pig. The pig says oink. I'm hearing that from a lot of pigs. I met a farmer down in Iowa named McDonald, old guy, you'd like him. He says we've done enough testing with a test here, a test there a test, there a test, everywhere a test. Now, to help the president reopen the country on Tuesday, Trump named 200 corporations and industry leaders, which he dubbed the Great American Economic Revival Industry Groups, a name chosen by Chief White House Health Advisor Dr. Fridge Magnets. Now, creating a special counsel to get the economy going sounds good. There's only one problem. He did it without telling the members of the council that they were on it. Why start asking for consent now? In fact, many of the listed names and companies on the council did not learn of their new advisory roles until the president read their names on live TV. So, to be safe, we all need to treat this economic council like the virus itself. Just assume you're on it until we can develop a reliable Corona Council test. You don't want to know where they're going to put the swab, because it's where he's yanking out the names. Trump's been having a blast at his briefings, but it turns out he initially had a totally different idea for how to connect with the American people. Early on in the crisis, Donald Trump wanted to start a White House talk radio show. Apparently, Trump emphasized that the show would need to be at least 2 hours a day, every day. Could we just lock him in a soundproof room for 2 hours a day and tell him he's on the radio? Sir, your ratings are great. Just take our word for it. Now, we'll fight the virus. You keep screaming into the hairbrush. Of course, talking to the American people through a crisis over the radio isn't a new idea. FDR had his famous fireside chats, and he was a lot more like Trump than you'd think.
My fellow Americans, war has engulfed the Pacific, but you're going to see the fighting go down to zero by April, like a miracle. For guidance during these difficult times, we now turn to the MyPillow guy's grandfather, Jiminy Pillow. Now offer a frisky frolic in warm springs with Salty Sue and the Ziegfeld Good Time Gals. Baba Booey!
So this evening I'm in a very strong mood, a very happy mood, okay? Because we've a lot to be positive about. Because today was a great day, a very important, sort of significant even, significant day. In my strong presidency, I'm wearing the white MAGA hat because, you know what they say, like on a like a special occasion for like a new event, you know, like a, you know, virgin bride or teenager going to their first Epstein party with me. You got to wear white on the special occasions. And today I was declared the ventilator king. And it's not in dispute. You can't. It's a fact. I have so many ventilators, like an incredible amount of ventilators. And we've done so strongly that I, of course, the fake news didn't like that I was calling myself the ventilator king, but it's the truth. I made that statement. I was sitting behind the Resolute desk. It's a very strong piece of furniture that, like, a lot of history, great history, a lot of our history, to be honest. And I realized I have so many ventilators that I have to be the Ventilator King, an angry Andrew, that's what we call him in New York. And he's been very angry, because I think he's embarrassed. Because he, you know, remember when he said we need 40 trillion ventilators and he needed 20? And we gave him the 20, we gave him the 20 happily. Because we're, you know, it's not about Democrats and Republicans, it's doing the right thing. And we love that, we want to do the right thing. And we have done the right thing. But he was wrong. And you know what, I've been wrong too. I remember in 2016, I thought I was going to win like a very small victory over Crooked Hillary. And it turns out I was wrong. It was a very big and sort of amazing victory. So I was wrong there. I underestimated how greatly I would do. So, but to be angry and embarrassed is like so nasty by Angry Andrew. So I hope he can be nice and realize that I'm the Ventilator King. And world leaders, they're so impressed now. They say, sir, you have, I love the sir. We used to not respect you as a country. You were so weak on ventilators, but because of you, we were amazed. And that's why I want a Netflix series called The Ventilator King. But it's my destiny to be the king of
pain. Since before Trump was even considered a serious candidate for president, it's always been clear that he's worshipped authoritarians and sought to emulate them. For one thing, those are the world leaders he gets along with best. For example, he's repeatedly heaped praise on Chinese President Xi Jinping, including during the coronavirus outbreak. Trump tweeted, China has been through much and has developed a strong understanding of the virus, and China has been working very hard to contain the coronavirus. The United States greatly appreciates their efforts and transparency. Trump wants us to forget all that now because he thinks our brains are like his, but they're not. Most of us can form and retain memories, while Trump has the memory of a goldfish who smokes weed. Trump has claimed many times that Article 2 of the Constitution, which outlines the powers of the presidency, allows him to do literally whatever he wants, even though it obviously does not.
Then I have an Article 2 where I have the right to do whatever I want as president, but I don't even talk about that.
I have an Article 2 is how a cabbie from Queens would say it while fighting with a traffic cop. Come on, you can't give me a ticket for parking here. I got an Article 2 that tells me I can do whatever I want. Some people were still holding out hope that when got serious, Trump would get serious, when in reality, it was clear he would just be. And sure enough, as recently as Monday, he was insisting once again that as president, he had absolute power and could unilaterally order every state in the country to lift their stay-at-home orders and reopen their economies as early as May 1st.
There's a debate over what authority you have to order the country reopened. What authority do you
have? Well, I have the ultimate authority. I have the absolute right to do if I want to. When somebody's the president of the United States, the authority is total. And that's the way it's got to be.
The president of the United States has the authority to do what the president has the authority to do, which is very powerful.
Talk about a meaningless statement. The president of the United States has the authority to do what the president has the authority to do. It's kind of the perfect zero information sentence. It's like saying, hey, I gotta be me. Yeah, okay, but who are you, though? The wannabe dictator who's best friends with Kim Jong-un or the cherubic mascot for Love Handles Golf Resort and Spa? Governors across the country and the political spectrum, from California Governor Gavin Newsom, a Democrat, to Ohio Governor Mike DeWine, a Republican, have been skeptical that the country can just magically reopen by the end of the month without mass testing and contact tracing to track the spread and isolate cases. And yet, in his daily Rose Garden campaign rally on Wednesday night, Trump insisted that governors are actually excited to just open back up as soon as possible.
We'll also be speaking to America's governors tomorrow, and then we'll be announcing exactly what's happening. You already know we'll be opening up states, some states much sooner than others. And we think some of the states can actually open up before the deadline of May 1st. And I think that that will be a very exciting time indeed. Governors are looking forward. They're chomping at the bit to get going.
Nobody's chomping at the bit just yet. I'm still wiping down every piece of mail like the return address says Chernobyl. What do you even mean by opening up anyway? You can't make people go out. You're going to have federal agents knock on people's doors and force them to go to the Olive Garden? That's right. Pass the breadsticks around. Everybody touch the basket. Everybody touch the basket. You just can't make people go to restaurants or stores because you want them to. In fact, a new poll published by Politico this week found that more than 8 in 10 voters, 81%, say Americans should continue to social distance for as long as is needed to curb the spread of coronavirus, even if it means continued damage to the economy. Only 10% say Americans should stop social distancing to stimulate the economy, even if it means increasing the spread of coronavirus. When it comes to reopening the economy, voters want the government to move slowly, not more quickly. And that should be good, because moving slowly is the one thing Trump is good at, both metaphorically and literally. He lumbers around the White House lawn like a retiree spraying crabgrass. Do we have any weed killer? Just give me some Trump vodka. It's the same thing. In fact, that was the ad campaign. Trump vodka. It's also a pesticide. Public health experts are warning us that prematurely reopening things could have deadly consequences, just like waiting to act until it was too late had deadly consequences, and yet Trump isn't capable of absorbing that reality. Just take this truly chilling anecdote from the Washington Post. Why don't we let this wash over the country, Trump asked, a question other administration officials say he has raised repeatedly in the Oval Office. Dr. Anthony Fauci initially seemed confused by the term wash over, but became alarmed once he understood what Trump was asking. Mr. President, many people would die, Fauci said. Trump seems intent on repeating all the same mistakes he made at the start of this crisis. For example, Trump has repeatedly bragged about his China travel ban, even though the New York Times reported that 430,000 people have traveled from China to the U.S. since coronavirus surfaced, and that, according to a genetic study, most New York coronavirus cases came from Europe. New research indicates that the coronavirus began to circulate in the New York area by mid-February, weeks before the first confirmed case, and the travelers brought in the virus mainly from Europe, not Asia. So now, Trump and his allies are trying to shift blame for their inaction to China and the World Health Organization. Now, of course, the World Health Organization has its flaws, but Trump is the one who repeatedly praised China for the handling of coronavirus, and a global pandemic is the worst time to suddenly pull funding from the world's leading public health group. And when you hear the Trump team's reasons, you realize they are just incredibly stupid.
But with the World Health Organization, what's happened there is a disgrace. There's something going on. There's something going on that's very bad. It's been going on for a long period of time, and we don't want to be the suckers anymore.
This is COVID-19, not COVID-1, folks. And so you would think the people charged with the World Health Organization facts and figures would be right on top of that.
Oh, my God, you absurd Lady Beavis. COVID-19 is named after the year it was discovered, 2019. There weren't 18 COVIDs before this one. You're confusing it with the Fast and Furious movies. Does she think there's a spinoff called Hobbs and SARS? Although it would explain why, when it comes to putting people in charge of the government, Trump's motto is,
I don't have friends. I got family.
Okay, I take it back. You can do a Trump miniseries now only if Vin Diesel plays him.
The President of the United States has the authority to do what the President has the authority to do.
And all of this just reveals the rot of bad faith at the core of the modern GOP. Conservatives never really meant any of that stuff about limited government. As we're seeing now, in fact, Trump himself conveniently changes his mind whenever it suits him, and the whole GOP turns in unison with him like a school of herring. When he wanted to claim absolute power, he insisted that the President calls the shots. But when he was asked about the failures at the federal level to ramp up testing, or when governors were begging him for life-saving equipment like ventilators and protective gear, he said he didn't take responsibility and actually bragged that he wouldn't even call the governors unless they praised him.
Dr. Fauci said earlier this week that the lag in testing was, in fact, a failing. Do you take responsibility for that? And when can you guarantee that every single American who needs a test will be able to have a test? What's the date of that?
Yeah, no, I don't take responsibility at all. He calls all the governors. I tell him. I mean, I'm a different type of person. I say, Mike, don't call the governor of Washington. You're wasting your time with him. Don't call the woman in Michigan.
Okay, first of all, she has a name. It's Gretchen Whitmer, and she's a governor. Look, we can't just open the economy up by May 1st. Not only does Trump not have the power to do that, but public health experts are warning that we won't be able to just go back to normal until there's mass testing, contact tracing, and eventually a vaccine. A responsible president would be preparing the nation for that reality. Instead, Trump is once again trying to wave away the crisis. As polls show, people just don't believe him, and that's because
we don't want to be the suckers anymore. Jared, Don, watch this. I'm going to prank these losers.
Hello, this is the World Health Organization.
The who?
Yes, exactly. How can we help you?
How can who help me?
Well, in a lot of ways, you just have to listen to what
okay,
we...
Okay, okay.
Why did you wait so long to warn them?
Who are you with?
And why did you not have social distancing until March 16th?
Who are you with?
I'm Weijia Jiang with CBS News.
So, if you look at what I did in terms of cutting off or banning China from coming in...
Chinese nationals. But by the way, not Americans who are also
nice and easy. Nice and easy. Just relax. I did a ban where I'm closing up the entire country. How many people died?
And that's a fair point.
How many people died in the United States? And yet I closed up the country, and I believe there were no deaths, zero deaths at the time I closed up the country. Nobody was there. And you should say thank you very much for good judgment.
If there's one thing this country is unified about, it's social distancing. On Thursday, even Donald Trump encouraged social distancing and the next day tweeted in support of the protests. Liberate Minnesota, liberate Michigan, and liberate Virginia, and save your great Second Amendment. It is under siege. Ah, yes. The Second Amendment is so important right now because if you run out of Lysol, you can just shoot your groceries. To be clear, Trump is encouraging his followers to protest his own recommendations. That's how much he needs to hear a chanting mob. He's like angry Tinkerbell. Quick, kids, scream, lock her up, or I'll die. Trump said a lot of other dumb stuff at his daily screamers this weekend, but Trump spent most of the time focused on the real hero, him.
In fact, and I appreciate it very much, the Wall Street Journal wrote a fantastic piece, a highly respected gentleman, Christopher DeMuth, and this piece was just in the Wall Street Journal, weekend edition, and Trump rewrites the book on emergencies. He has vivified the American way in action. Once it was reluctantly aroused. It was hard to get it aroused, and it is hard to get it aroused, but we got it aroused.
A reporter pressed Trump on why he was spending so much time praising himself.
More than 22 million Americans are currently unemployed as a result of this. Today we hit the grim milestone of more than 40,000 Americans now having died from the coronavirus. Can you explain then why you come out here and you are reading clips and showing clips of praise for you and for your administration? Is this really the time for self-congratulations?
Well, I will tell you this. What I'm doing is I'm standing up for the men and women that have done such an incredible job. Not for me, for the men and women. These people are right now in hospitals. It's dangerous. It's going to a battlefield. And I want these people, I want you. I want you in the. It's all about that. It's not about me. Nothing's about me.
Look, there's never been a president who makes it less about me than me. Honestly, I don't get enough credit for making this not about me. I should get a medal that says, most about not me.
I interviewed someone who said that his family got sick, and they said mainly because the president wasn't taking it seriously. He said, if the president had a mask on, if he was saying we should stay home, then I would have stayed home. Well, do you feel like, or are you concerned that downplaying the virus maybe got some people sick?
And a lot of people love Trump, right? A lot of people love me. You see him all the time, right? I guess I'm here for a reason, you know? To the best of my knowledge, I won. And I think we're going to win again.
Trump was up bright and early this morning to remind us that there is an eye in pandemic, and he's it. He tweeted, I've had great ratings my whole life. There's nothing unusual about that for me. The White House news conference ratings are through the roof. Monday Night Football, Bachelor finale, New York Times, but I don't care about that. I care about going around the fake news to the people. Right. Only Donald Trump would say he doesn't care about ratings while bragging about his ratings. But it wasn't all lashing out. In fairness, Trump did try to lift spirits yesterday and actually told a pretty funny joke.
Please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President.
I think right behind you, I promise. I cannot tell a lie. So we'll get you next, okay?
It's a good one. And guess what? He didn't get her next. he went to someone else. And then, moments later, he lied again.
We held rallies in February and in March, and there are some Americans.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know about rallies. I really don't know about rallies. I know one thing. I haven't left the White House in months, except for a brief moment to give a wonderful ship the comfort.
You held a rally in March.
I don't know. Did I hold a rally? I'm sorry. I hold a rally. Did I hold a rally?
Did I hold a rally in an enclosed space, even though I now claim to have known it was dangerous at that time? Yes. Do I have an advent calendar counting down the days until I can hold my next one? You bet your dirty mask I do. He held rallies in February and March, and he left the White House four times in March, including a trip to Mar-a-Lago. Mar-a-Lago, by the way, laid off 153 workers today, in addition to the 560 laid off at Trump's resort in Miami. Maybe this is why he's so anxious to open for business again. He's getting hurt. This gives you a sense of how things are going at the White House. The president's own coronavirus task force, members of his own team, are reported to be actively ignoring him now. They say the vice poodle, Mike Pence, won't even sniff his butt. Which, I don't know, that doesn't make any sense to me. Why would they ignore a president who has so many great ideas? Remember when he wanted to nuke the hurricane? You probably think I'm joking, but go ahead and Google that.
Speaking of things we're hoping will end soon, President Trump, last night, he tweeted this bombshell at 10 p.m.
In light of the attack from the invisible enemy, as well as the need to protect the jobs of our great American citizens, I will be signing an executive order to temporarily suspend immigration into the United States.
Well, I don't necessarily agree with it, but it's probably the safest thing for the immigrants. Because right now, America is basically a petri dish on the floor of a bus station men's room.
Here's a teaser of my new executive order. Am I really going to ban all immigrants? Will I throw wine in Steve Mnuchin's face and call him a bitch? Gotta tune in to find out. I've had great ratings my whole life. There's nothing unusual about that for me. The White House news conference ratings are through the roof. Monday Night Football.
I have a lot of questions about the president's task force and the mixed messages we've been getting about staying home. So we reached out to the White House, and believe it or not, they connected us with the chief medical advisor to the coronavirus response team, and I am honored to welcome Dr. Anthony Fauci. Hello, Dr. Fauci.
Hello? Hello? Can you hear me on this? Hello?
Yes, yes, we can hear you, but I was under the impression I'd be speaking to Dr. Fauci.
Oh, no, no. Dr. Fauci is no longer with us.
What? Why? What?
Well, no, the president respects disagreement, and he respects Dr. Fauci so much that he actually sent him to a big farm upstate where he's free to run around in a field all day with other doctors. I'm the new lead on the coronavirus task force.
And you are?
Oh, Dr. Solomon Zayas.
Dr. Zayas, if you don't mind me asking, how did you get this job?
Oh, family connection. The president's mother, Mary, is my Nana's sister.
Okay, so your mother was his mother's sister, but you're an
an orangutan, yes.
Wait, so that means Donald Trump is what?
Half. Just half. I mean, of course he is. No human would have a fantastic head of orange hair like that.
That actually explains a lot of things. How long before we can leave our homes?
Why? So you can befoul the environment with your fossil fuels, destroy the forests with your insatiable greed, contaminate the oceans with your heaps of plastic detritus, and wage war over imbecilic differences of religion and race.
Yeah, yes.
3 to 6 months.
Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.